This morning, we're joined with a guest on the phone. Lance Easley is joining us this morning. Now, that name might not jump off the page to you right off the bat, but when we preface this interview, you will probably know exactly who we're talking about. Last year, September 24th of 2012, in a Monday night football game in Seattle, the Seahawks beat the Green Bay Packers 14-12 on a last-minute Hail Mary pass that ended up being ruled a touchdown when two players came down with it at the same time. Lance Easley was the official who had his arms in the air signaling touchdown at that time. He was living his own dream. He had an opportunity to get into the NFL as an official. And all of a sudden, things changed very dramatically for his life. And we're going to talk about what happened after all of that. Lance, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, Jim?
Great. Thanks a lot for spending a little time with us here. You've written a book called Making the Call. You know, every day, people get out of bed in the morning and face the day. They have no idea what's going to happen that particular day. They might think they have plans, but you really don't have any idea because there's so many other outside influences in our lives. Sometimes things great happen, sometimes it's a vanilla day, and sometimes things are just tough to deal with. That particular day was a pretty tough one in the aftermath for you because of the scrutiny that you got, because everybody else thought they understood better than you what happened, even though you were standing right there. How do you deal with that kind of scorn and scrutiny from outside sources?
Well, you know, as I speak to large groups and go around and people want to hear my story, what I really get into is the preparation for it, which you know, a young person, it's hard to prepare for because you're growing through life, but you can learn from the things that you go through, and that it's kind of a process that I've learned over time. And when I was asked to speak about it, I laid it out, and I came up with an acronym for it. It is every day, like you had mentioned, we wake up, there's all this noise coming at us, whether it be a rooster crowing, an alarm clock, you know, our spouse or significant other saying, hey, it's time to get up, then our internal noise starts. And we live in this incredible information age with everything, the Twitter, Facebook, all the media sources and everything else coming at us. How do you filter that out? I was thrown into this huge event and then the aftermath. And I came up with this acronym, and I say when, you know, people say officials are blind, and I would say that I'm deaf, and deaf is the acronym. And deaf fits Seattle. It fits that area because of the Puget Sound and how loud the stadium is. But the D standing for deciding to stand, that's number one. The E is for embracing stress and pressure. It'll help you grow. The A is for adopting a good attitude. You can control that. And through that process, you'll end up forming a foundation that over time can get you through each situation that comes. So that's in a nutshell, a Reader's Digest version of how I dealt with it and what people are inspired about when I talk to them.
You know, the easy thing, I guess, would have been just to lock yourself up and hide away after all this happens with all this noise, this outside pressure coming in from everybody, from sportscasters to other folks who play the game and coach the game and what have you. But it seemed like you pretty well tackled it head on.
Well, actually, I did. That's what we do as officials. We do hide. We don't, you know, we're a part of the game, but we want to be unnoticed. You go out there, you do your job, and you just go away, and they think, wow, that was a great game. I don't even know who those guys were that officiated it. But what happened is the constant pressure kept coming at me. I thought it would go away after a few days. And we were kind of sequestered for about a week, letting all the media go away, get off our lawn and all that stuff. And finally, I went back to work. And what hit me is going into work and seeing my coworkers. And literally, people came up to me with tears in their eyes, hugging me, saying, are you okay? And I thought, yeah, I'm fine. But now they're not okay. And they're so concerned for me. And it dawned on me how worried people were that I knew around. So that being said, you know, there were certain media outlets that wanted to interview me, so I went ahead and accepted two interviews, one in the sports world, one in the public on the Today Show, and let people know I was okay. That was the only reason. I said, all right, that's done. It's over with. Back to life. No, that didn't work out either because people started asking me to speak about how I overcame all this craziness and survived it, the death threats, the bomb threats, the stuff of the media, you know, all over me, and that has just led into the book and where I'm at today, and I see how inspired people are when I go share my story and encourage them, because everybody goes through this. I just happen to have it happen in front of 18 million people on Monday Night Football.
Well, you've been involved in a lot of things in your life, a U.S. Marine, an official in multiple sports, a college football coach. You work in the banking industry, involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, in church different types of church groups and Christian men's groups and nonprofit organizations. When you take all of that experience and pull it together, obviously that molds the person that you are, the life experiences we have. Did you lean on some of those things to help you deal with some of the outside pressures and things that you were having to go through every day?
Yeah, of course. I would say that everybody, if you look back through your life and what shapes you and what things that you you get into the E of death, which, again, is in my book that is going to be released on 8/15 this month, where you can buy it on Amazon now. But a lot of people, and I found in early in my life, I try to get away from stressful events and not embrace them. But by embracing them, I discovered over time that it helped fine-tune me and make me grow, and then having a better attitude too, in not getting emotionally involved to a level that I couldn't learn and form a strong foundation. The Marine Corps, I was only in for a short stint. I went through a lot of surgeries as a young person, actually two prior to going in, and they didn't like the fact that they said, how do you even get in here, even though I had letters. But my athletic career, I'm about a 3 handicap, 4 handicap right now in golf, but I would attribute a lot of that to that is learning, you know, how to handle pressure mentally on a golf course at a very competitive level. And then working in sales and marketing 30 years, hearing the word no a whole lot of times, you either end up living in a van down by the river, or you learn how to you learn how to deal with it and have the right attitude. So that's a part of shaping me. Plus, to top it all off, is my faith. Without my faith, I really would not know how to do it. And understanding that people in the world today that are Christians and people 2,000 years ago took quite a beating for their faith, and they didn't whine or bellyache or moan, and they suffered a lot greater than what I went through or have been through in my life.
Well, hopefully that a lot of the folks that will read the book called Making the Call will not necessarily have millions and millions of people suddenly angry with them and what have you. But, you know, we all have troubled times in our lives. You can't go through a life without having some obstacles thrown in your way. There are practical things that folks can take from this book that they can implement in their daily lives.
Yes, and that's what I would say at the end of the book. The beginning, the first two-thirds of it are the story, you know, of what I went through, and it's neat. It gives them an inside view, like, you know, they're looking at it through my eyes, everything I went through. But the end of it is, again, this whole noise that in crisis that we're all going to face. We can't avoid it, you know. We're going to go to the doctor, and we may get some bad news, and we're going to go through. We could get in a car accident today. We could have a loved one that something happens to. How do we deal with that? And, again, the DAF process of just deciding to stand, everything's, you know, you can't go anywhere. Just hang in there and then embrace the stress and pressure, looking for the growth opportunities in it. You know, and again, adopting a good attitude, not positive or negative, but just, you know, bring all those thoughts in and just let them sit there. You don't have to deal with them, and then it'll help you form a stronger foundation. I'm hoping people will respond to that and look at it and respond to me with encouragement too, and there's an email at the end of the book where they can send their stories to me.
You have a co-author for the book as well. How did you go about choosing that?
It's interesting. I had met Brock Taney, who's a best-selling author, him and his wife Bodie, here on the Central Coast where I live in California, and this whole thing happened, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, your whole experience, that there's a book there. And I said, well, you know, I'm kind of tired of telling everybody the same story over and over again. So if you could write it. and so I was able to get him to go ahead and be co-author it. However, we had such a short time to get it turned around, and I ended up writing quite a bit and found out that actually, you know, this kid on the Central Coast could ride a little bit. Hopefully people will enjoy my riding style.
Very good. Well, again, the book is coming out here very soon. And can you give them the information on where they can find it, how they can get their hands on the book?
You can find it online probably at any bookseller, online bookseller, but you can only pre-order it at this time. So all your the Christian booksellers from the and please forgive me if I leave any out, but there's the Parable, there's the Christian booksellers too, other ones. There's also Amazon, which everybody knows, and it's out there. It's going to be in a paperback form, a audio form, and also in a Kindle form, that format. And you can also come to my website, lanceeasley.com, and I will have updated information coming out because people are requesting even more things on this deaf concept, along with other things that I have given away, flags. I've signed penalty flags for people, and the last one I think went for $850 somewhere as an auction item. But it's amazing. I can't believe this whole thing, and I'm just living it out, hopefully being an encouragement to people.
Being on TV is a strange thing sometimes.
Yeah, it is. And I left that life. I told one interviewer, I'm in the Screen Actors Guild. I left Hollywood back in 1985 when I became a born-again Christian. And one guy said to me, he said, "Are you happy all this happened?" I said, "Well, I wasn't looking for it. You know, if I wanted to be famous, I would have stayed in Hollywood and do what a lot of the other people I grew up with and I know are doing. But it kind of found me again. So I don't know. I just have to live with it."
Again, the book is called Making the Call, Living with Your Decisions, written by Lance Easley and co-authored by Brock Taney. And you can get that very soon. Look for that, both in electronic and in regular book form. Lance Easley, again, thank you so much for your time and sharing with us your experiences and your solid faith to help you get through all that you had to get through. And also, thanks for your service to the country as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.